We've been speaking for several weeks now, preserved by the truth. You remember that?
Yes.
Preserved by the truth. And this is the third Sunday, so preserved by the truth, part three. And I've repeated that, which I've said several times, that as a church or a nation, we are in a critical time. That microphone has to be adjusted. We are in a critical time, and this is clear for those who watch in the spirit and are able to discern the times, that things are changing rapidly. In fact, if you can think about this as a nation, it's been about a month, and there are several things that have changed already. Now, when you start seeing things happening in the natural, you need to know that things don't start in the natural. The spirit realm controls the natural realm. So the starting might be the side of the kingdom of darkness, or it can be of the kingdom of light. All of us, we have to pay attention and watch in the spirit. So what are we supposed to do? I told you earlier on, the just shall live by faith. That's what you're supposed to do. This is a victory that overcomes the world. Let's go there to 1 John chapter 5. Please keep working on that sound. 1 John 5. Look at this in verse 4. Oh, let's start from verse 1. We're in church anyway. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him, who begot, also loves him, who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And let's read that other part together, part B of three. And his commandments are not burdensome. So anyone saying, oh, you know, it's so difficult to understand the things of God, is in error. The truth says his commandments are not burdensome. For, let's read verse 4 together. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So then for us to overcome the world, the system of the world, we must have faith in God. How does that faith come? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. To overcome the spirit of the world, you and I must cultivate faith and let it grow stronger and stronger and stronger. And stronger. And go back to the foundations of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to go to those foundations of faith and keep growing stronger and stronger and stronger. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. How does that faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How does that fear come? By hearing, and hearing the words of the devil and the words of the world. One tweet of death, one tweet of death, another YouTube of death, another one of death. Fear is coming. Fear keeps coming. Fear is coming. And what does that mean? Let me speak some bad English here. You will be overcome by the world. Yeah, because the world comes over you. And the spirit of the world is not the spirit of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And who is you overcomes the world? But you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So then, how do you overcome the spirit of the world? By believing the word of God, by trusting the word of God. Because again, the song we've sung, Jesus lives, he can face tomorrow with much confidence. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. The older you become, the better it becomes. Hallelujah. The older you become, the better it becomes. Even the photos look better. Hallelujah. Even the photos look better. You look more prosperous. That's the will of God. Hallelujah. And now then, so we live by faith. We take the word of God. We choose to depend on Him. And let me put another word there. And we shall never be moved. Write that. Never be moved. Why is that so? Let me give you some scriptures quickly about never be moved. Psalm 55 verse 22. I think this is King David. He says this, cast your burden on the Lord and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Unmovable. The true unboggable. The true one. I am unmovable. And Psalm 62, verse 5 and 6, there are so many scriptures, by the way. Psalm 62, verse 5 and 6, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. The governments of the world are failing. My expectation is from Him. Not even from my uncle. My expectation is from Him. What about if your expectation has been on your uncle, who's a cabinet secretary, and they're no longer existing anymore? That has been your expectation all the way. But now there's no longer cabinet secretary. What will you do? But listen, my expectation is from the Lord. And then he says this, He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. Let's say it together. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Psalm 125 verse 1 and 2 talks about it also. 125 verse 1 and 2, it says this, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Which cannot be moved, but abides forever. We know that. Well, how is it like? As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. The Lord surrounds His people. Hallelujah. That's a place just to shout. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people from this time forth and forever. So what happens when you keep hearing the word of God? You keep trusting the word of God. You become stronger. Your faith becomes stronger. You come stronger and stronger, and you come to a place that none of these things move you. Apostle Paul talks about that in Acts chapter 28. Let's read the scripture. These are some of those benefits of coming to church. You get extras. So extras. I think that should be 20 verse 28. Let me see. 20:28, Acts 20. Acts 20, I will not be moved. Verse 22, actually. Verse 22. It says, I see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Remember, he was among the Gentiles preaching the gospel, and he was going back to Jerusalem, and Agabus, the prophet, has prophesied that there are things that awaited him in Jerusalem. But he says this, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. None of these things move me. Have you been moved over the week? In the week? I refuse to be moved. I refuse to be moved. Because He lives, I confess tomorrow. I refuse to be moved. I don't know about you. Quiet means you are agreeing with something or you are not agreeing. So what about you? I refuse to be moved. I don't know about you. I refuse to be moved. I refuse to be moved. Even if the phone rings in the service, I refuse to be moved. I refuse to be moved. I refuse to be moved. So Pastor Carla wonderfully had told you, ministered in different meetings while she was here. And I remember him saying that we are in a decade of war. And remember, she asked how, and then, sorry, let me put it in this manner. I was sitting at the front, I was looking at her, and she said, we are in a decade of war. And I thought, how will I know that? You know, I'm watching, I'm listening inside of me. How will I know that? And then she said, look at the fig tree. Look at the fig tree, which is Luke 21, 29, which is symbolically, look at Israel. Israel has been at war, is that so? We know that. It's been at war. We're about almost now in October. We know that. It'll be 1 year. Has been at war. Look at the fig tree. So what does that mean? We need to wake up and do what? And stand up for the Lord. Get hold of the word of God and wage a good warfare. Look at Israel, even right now. Israel has been in warfare. So remember, I spoke to you last week and the other week from Psalm 11, verse 3. I don't think I'll go back there. But can we have it there, please? One of any version, doesn't matter. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I'm going to focus on some things this morning. Remember, we spoke about the foundation of truth, love, honor. There's so many, but this, let me dwell with on honor a little bit. Honor, church, must have its place in our hearts in everything we do. In fact, the scripture says, honor all men. Honor all men. Honor must be in the core of everything we do. Of course, love, truth. I've spoken a bit of the love. I spoke quite a bit on truth. But honor must have its place in our hearts in everything we pursue. The scripture that Miss Rita has just read in Isaiah 61, verse 7, the New King James Version says, instead of your shame, you shall have what? Double honor. Double honor. And then he says, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Have we experienced confusion in our nation? Yes. But listen to this. Every time you see strife, you see confusion, you see chaos, you know there's one behind that. He's the devil. He's the one who steals, who comes to steal, to kill and destroy. And I've been praying in this manner, Father, even that which was meant for evil in our nation, turn it for our good. Let good come out of this. Amen. But listen to this. It's not going to fall in place. People say that things will fall in place. No, they just don't. The prayers of the saints moves things around and settles them in God's will. You know, you can't watch television for 3 hours and pray. Nowadays, it's not television, YouTube. I tried when we had gone to Marsabit with the three men, but the youngest is Boris, and Boris is in X. And I said, let me check out X a little bit. Your X. I don't have any X. I'm married. So I got into that and I thought, a little bit. I said, is this what you all look at? Wow, I'm in a good place. I live in glory. I live in the glory. Oh, we are using it for evangelizing. That's the grace upon you. Let me stay in the glory. Let me pray. Let me stay right in the glory. Let me keep on hearing the word of God. I don't know, for several weeks I've been listening to Pastor Keith Moore, Faith for Provision. And every time I keep hearing the word. I'm preparing, I'm hearing the word. I laugh with him. I shout with him. I thought, well, probably on Twitter. I'm having provision. Woo! Hallelujah. Cheer on. Let's go to 2 Samuel. So whatever we do, we must have honor in everything we pursue. So listen to this before we go 2 Samuel chapter 8. We must be discerning concerning God's will and not follow the crowd or the opinions of men. We must be discerning concerning God's will and not follow the crowd or the opinions of men. We must be discerning concerning the Father's will. Do you want to learn from someone whose life was preserved by God? You want to? Come on, can you all hear me? Everyone in the house? Do you want to learn from someone whose life was preserved by God? Who experienced increase over and over again in his life? I want to learn from King David. And I want to focus on that honor. Let's go. Remember 2 Samuel 8:6, we read it last week. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. Let's read that one together, please. So the Lord did what? Preserved David wherever he went. Remember that word, preserved? Preserved David wherever he went. Let's look at some things here from 1 Samuel 24. One of my favorite books in the Bible is Samuel, 1 and 2, and Kings and Chronicles. Why is that so? Because I get to learn from other people's lives. That what they have gone through, mistakes they have made, I don't have to make any. You understand? And I like learning from, of course, the first king of Israel, you know, King Saul, and then coming in David, and we see other kings coming in to the time that there was the division of the tribes of Israel, of course, the 10 taken to Assyria, and then the other one taken to Babylon. I like observing that and learning from them. So listen to this of King David. We'll do a bit of reading. So David, we know that God had chosen him in 1 Samuel chapter 16. God had chosen him to be the king of Israel and had rejected Saul. So immediately that happened, there was such persecution from King Saul towards King David. Actually, there was nothing wrong that David did except being chosen by God. You understand that? There's nothing wrong that David did except being chosen by God. Immediately, the anointing came upon him. Persecution began. Now look at this then. So Saul is looking for David. He comes to a place. Now verse 1. You must work on that microphone, please. It's not good at all. Now it happened on Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. And then the men of David said to him, listen to this. This is the day of which the Lord said to you. Remember, King Saul has gone to the cave in a vernacular to relieve himself. All right? The king. Then the bushes. So what you do when you're in the bushes, you attack the bush. So he went to attack the cave somehow. But then, so he's all alone. And in the same cave, David and his men are hiding. Who are they hiding from? They're hiding from Saul. So listen to this now. Then the men of David say to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you." You see, they are quoting the scripture. Are you seeing they are quoting the scripture? "This is the day the Lord said to you. Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you." They're quoting the scriptures. I hear that all around. Many people quoting scriptures to justify their wickedness. Many. Than ever before, church, we are seeing that. Than ever before, why is that so? Because we have the media all around us. People committing wickedness and they quote the scriptures. Listen, because they do not know the foundations. Whatever you do, when you have a foundation, whatever you do, you will never leave out your foundations. So he says, this is the day. They're quoting the scriptures. This is the day of which the Lord, they're using even the name of the Lord, said to you, behold, I'll deliver your enemy into your hand that you may do to him as it seems good. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Let's go ahead. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. This is what it means. He was sensitive towards the will of God all the time. He was a sensitive man in his spirit. His heart was sensitive towards God. Others would kill even in the name of the Lord and even say, praise the Lord, the Lord has done it. Not David. His heart was sensitive to God's will. And that's why I'm cautioning you and I'm telling you, be sensitive towards God's will in your life. Even if something looks so popular, you have to listen to the Lord. You have to pay attention to him. What is he saying in that situation? Don't follow the crowd. Don't follow the majority. Follow the Lord. Listen to him. His heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Let's go further. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Let's go forward. And David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. Let's go further. David also arose afterward. He went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, my lord the king. Do you see that he still keeps that honor? Do you see that? Do you see that place of honor? Let me ask you a question before we go further. Who do we prefer? The life do we prefer? Of King Saul, of David, or of Absalom? Huh? Of King Saul, or King David, or Absalom? David. And God testifies concerning David, and he says, the man after my own heart. Did he make mistakes? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. But listen to this. His heart was towards the will of God. His heart was towards the will of God. That's important to God about our hearts. We may do something and it looks so good in the eyes of the majority, but check out your heart. I have to check out my heart. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And the more we pay attention to the truth, the more sensitive our hearts become. We have that love. We have that truth. We have honor. We honor all men. So David afterward went out to the cave. We see that. And then he says this, my lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped. This is the man who's been looking for him. He had an opportunity to kill him. But listen to this. He still honors him. He still preserves his life. And he still calls him my lord. Not foolish. Man, you are looking at me. You came to relieve yourself. I could have killed you. He never did that. Words of honor brings you closer to the will of God. We honor all men. We honor all men. We honor all men. Young people, we honor all men. Even the ones we don't like, we honor them. Do you know you can love a person you don't like? Huh? Yes. You know you can love a person you don't like? Yes. Because you see, the love of God is not a feeling. The love of God is a decision you make, a choice based on God's word. He chose honor. This is our foundation as believers in Christ. I'm talking about the body. I'm talking about the church of the living God. I'm talking about the church which has been bought by the blood of Jesus. Honor all men. My Lord the King, and when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. Let's go, Father. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed David seeks your harm? Look, this day your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave. And someone urged me to kill you, but my eyes spared you. And I said, I will not stretch out my hands against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. That's amazing. That's an attitude that I want in my life. That's an attitude that I want in my life. When there's so much dishonor all around, we keep honor in place. We refuse dishonor. We refuse dishonor. Now look at this. Moreover, my father, what does he call him? Huh? He called him Lord. He called him the Lord's anointed. Now he calls him my father. My father. Listen, have our parents made mistake? Huh? You've grown up, you've realized you're making mistakes too. Huh? Come on, answer me. Did your parents ever made any mistake?
Yes.
Okay, did you ever blame them? Oh, you did. Oh, I did. Oh, yeah, I did. Have you realized also you make mistakes?
Yes.
All right, did they become something else because they made mistakes?
No,
they remain parents. They remain parents. Remain a father. Oh, I don't care. He is no longer my father. He is. He is. He is. Even if he's a drunkard, he sleeps by the roadside at noon, he's still your father. You better be believing for his deliverance. Come on now. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about honor. We're talking about the truth. Listen, we're talking about high level of existence. High levels. I'm telling you, that's double. High levels of fruitfulness. High levels of thinking. The low levels, they curse. They insult. They cause division. That's the low level. Those ones are not even on ground floor. They're under. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritual minded is life and peace. Church, we want high levels of honor. Amen. Amen. We want people come around and all they can experience is honor. It's honor. It's unity. Huh? How do you like to come to a church? Just before we came in, Miss Ruth and I were just throwing words at each other. You did. Yeah, I better not see you in church then. Deacons, get out. Huh? How do you feel coming to such a church? With every kind of strife and evil work. Listen, we promote unity. We promote honor. We promote the truth. We promote love. We promote forgiveness. That's the kingdom. That's the king. I'm telling you, that defeats the devil. That defeats the devil. You see, if I keep fighting with my wife at home, the devil will have a field day. I'm not thinking of an individual, but it's a fact. I have seen too much premature deaths in our nation. And that's not God. Could it be that there are foundations that you've come out of and it's opened the door for the devil to destroy? We are seeing not just deaths, unnatural deaths. That actually, they are part of the curse in Deuteronomy 28. We've been redeemed from the curse. Church, there ought to be a difference. Honor. Say it, honor.
Honor.
Say love.
Love.
Truth.
Truth.
The word of God. Your faith cannot, yours and my faith cannot operate without honor. Let's go, Father. Moreover, no, stay right there, please. Moreover, my Father, see, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you, nor unsee that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. And I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it. Let's go, Father. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. Come on, what was the natural thing to do when God has said you are the anointed one, has anointed you, send Prophet Samuel to anoint him as the next king of Israel, and you have an opportunity to kill the man? What is it that you are supposed to do? Kill him, you are getting to the throne. Just finito him. Finish. And then say, I kill him. Not David. Absalom tried to kill his father, thinking that he was going to be the next king. He died. Rebellion kills prematurely. Rebellion kills prematurely. With long life, you'll satisfy me. We need to have things in place. Not only in this life, we want to have an entrance to heaven that is honorable. That all the announcing centers in heaven, they say he's come. He was not known on earth. She was not known on earth. That mother was such an intercessor. Not many people knew her on earth. But we knew her in heaven. We've known her all the time. She's coming home now. I don't know if there are like places like airports in heaven. You know, you are waiting for people to come from the earth. Praise God. Hey, this life is bigger than we see right now. We have to honor God. Then let the Lord judge, and then he says this. Go to the next one, please. And then he says, as the proverb of the ancients say, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. In other words, if we could have killed him, that could have proven how much wickedness was in the heart of David. But he refused. He refused to kill King Saul. Opportunity after another. Listen to this. If you fight someone to come on top, you're about to fall quickly. The seed you sowed will actually manifest, and there will be increase. Listen, in your workplace, wherever you are, young people, wherever you are, workplace, whatever it is, don't ever fight someone for a position. Don't ever allow that. Let the Lord do it. He'll make it so nice for you. Make it so good for you. Now listen to this quickly, then go to the next thing. You're getting something out of this? Wickedness does what? Proceed from? Come on, go back there, please. Wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. Let's go further there. And whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog, or flea? Now he's rebuking him. Now look at this. Therefore, let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me, and see and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hand. And then he goes on to say, so it was when David had finished speaking these words, listen to this, words to Saul, that Saul said, is it your voice, my son David? Am I your son and you want to kill me, oh? Is this your voice? Listen to this, when you honor someone, even if they wanted to curse you, they start blessing you. Look at what follows now. Is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. He's been slain by honor. Not by a queen. Slain by honor. By honor. Honor in this man's heart. Now he wept, and look at this. Then he said to David, you are more righteous than I. He's saying it. You're more righteous than I. For you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. That's the gospel. Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus being hanged on the cross, he said those words. You have rewarded me with good, whereas I've rewarded you with evil. Go next, go, Father, please. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hand, you did not kill me. Look what follows next. For if a man finds his enemy, will you let him get away safely? What is your answer? No, it depends on where you are. It depends which realm you live in. Will you get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good. He's blessing him now for what you have done to me this day. Now look at what follows next. For now I know indeed that you shall surely be king. Wow. Now I know. Listen to this. Let me say something here. Saul knew what to do, but he never did it. He knew the principles, the theory of it, but they were never part of him. Do you remember even when he was waiting for Samuel to come and he went ahead and sacrificed? While he was a king, he was not a priest, he was not a prophet. He did something that he was not supposed to do as a king. In other words, he knew things, but he chose disobedience in his lifetime. While King David was not a king then, actually chose honor. So he says, now I know indeed that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Now listen to what follows next. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants. Selfishness. He's still the same man. He still wants favor from the one he wanted to kill. And then says, after me, that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. And then goes on next. So David sold to Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. That's an attitude, church. That's an attitude. What was the end of David? He lived, actually, the Bible says, after he had served his generation. He rested with his fathers. Saul was killed. We can shout and shout and shout. At the end of it, the end of the matter is critical. I want my life to be better. Only me? Do you want your life to be better?
Yes.
Do you want your photos to look better and better as you grow old? You want your life to be better and better, your photos to look better, your neighborhood, your surroundings, everything to look better, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren looking better and better because of your obedience, honor. Listen, honor does not depend on what has been done to you. It depends on your response or reaction. It can be wicked. This man was looking for an opportunity to kill David. But honor in David's heart was giving out a different response. Does that make faith and sense? Huh? It's not how much has been done to you, whether right or wrong, is my response. It's my response. It's my response. Honor. 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 Keep that in place. Honor. Honor. Keep that in place. Love. Keep that in place. Truth. Don't say something you're not sure of. Even worse, don't post it. Nowadays, with their artificial intelligence, you even don't know if the person said or not. That's so, Brother Francis? Even don't know. They can put those words in the person's mouth. When I was growing up, AI was artificial insemination. We have cows, and there used to be those people with artificial insemination. In your generation is artificial intelligence. So we have to know which AI are you talking about. Let me say something over here. Have you seen that place of honor? Let me hear, young people. Have you seen that place of honor? Oh, come on, young people. Have you seen? You've been watching Euro Cup and you shout. Let me hear if you shout. Hey, have you seen that place of honor? How critical that is. God wants you to live long and healthy and prosperous. And listen, and be honored in everything you do. Be honored. Then, so remember that. Don't forget that. Don't forget honor. What does it do? It helps you in discerning God's will. You discern God's will. If honor is in place, you can easily discern God's will. Hallelujah. Second thing I want to say, you always remember, you must remember that we are members of the body of Christ, the church. And the church does not belong to man, it belongs to God. We are members of the body. We are bought at a price. Remember in Acts chapter 9, I'll go quickly with this, Acts chapter 9, in verse 4 and 5, Saul then, he had been persecuting the church. And then he says, when he was struck by the light of God, he had a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then listen to what he said. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goats." Now listen to this. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Who was he persecuting? It's just the church. It was not even the saints. They called them the people of the way. He was persecuting believers in Christ. But listen to this. The Lord took it personal. Because it is his body. Oh, I hear people. Oh, the church. Which church are you talking about? Are you talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Not everyone calls, they call themselves a church is a church. Not so. People, oh, this church, we've lost all honor towards church, or we don't care about church. Oh, that's what, you don't know the Lord. You don't know the Lord. It's obvious you don't know the Lord. If you knew the Lord, you'll never say that way. If you knew the Lord, you'd never say that. Oh, the church. Hey, he's perfect. He knows what he's doing to his body. Listen, he's coming to a glorious church. Amen. That will happen. Heaven and earth will pass away. His words will never pass away. Men fail, but the Lord does not fail. His church does not fail. Men fail. Just like, you know, you've been looking for a perfect church until you came in. We are no longer perfect. Because you came in with imperfections. We are perfect before you came in. Men fail, but the Lord does not fail. What does he say? My God, he say this, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Be careful how you speak about the church. Be careful. Talk of individuals' failure, if you really know what their failure, and judge your own failure first, before you talk of anyone's failure. You can shout hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Or did you want me to tell you, you're walking on water, you're walking on water in your marriage, you're walking on water, hallelujah, I see you walking on water. I see you, brother. Hallelujah. The Lord is moving. He's moving. He's moving. He's moving in your business. He's moving in your business. Give us seed. Come on now. Now don't cut that clip. And put me on TikTok that this was my message. Because they do that. So he said, I am Jesus whom you are doing what? Persecuting. Acts 20, Apostle Paul gets a revelation later on. He's speaking to the elders in church. Those are pastors, they call elders. But listen to this in Acts 20, 28. He's speaking to the church and he says this, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Listen to this, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now he has a revelation. He's saying now, this is the church of God. This is the church of God. Let's honor God. Don't attack the body. Pray for the body. If you truly know how to pray for the body, you'll never be part of schism or division. No, never. You will be praying for the unity of the body. Unity is one of the foundations that we must stay with. Unity, or stay on, actually. Unity. Unity. All right? 1 Corinthians 6:20. It says, for you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So walk around as the redeemed of the Lord. Praise God. Promote unity. Promote love. Promote truth, not division. So by knowing this, we must therefore live separating our lives unto God because we belong to him. I've been meditating on, just in the shallow end of meditation, but I've been meditating on the fatherhood of God. And I'm believing God to get so much revelation and teach that. That's your prosperity right there, the fatherhood of God. Wow. You're a wealthy father, you're a wealthy child. Amen? I mean, that's how it is. Sometimes we walk around as if we are orphans wanting to be, you know, adopted by Jesus. We've been redeemed, church. Yeah. The fatherhood of God, he loves his people. Listen, he's generous. Everything God does is generous. Everything. Everything. What does he provide? Only needs, even wants. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Huh? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. People say, oh, we don't know, why. I don't think if God wants me to have such and such. Oh, really, he wants. He's your father. My natural father wasn't wealthy, but I'm telling you, I didn't have to ask for the land he gave to me. He said, this is your land. And I was privileged. It's amazing how he did it. I'm the youngest son in the family. He gave me a bigger portion. So I'll give this to Davis. So, oh God, I believe that's how you think about me, Lord. Bigger portions. Amen. That's the fatherhood of God. He loves you. I didn't have to. I didn't kneel down to get the land. It was given to me. I'm telling you, I know if my dad was wealthy, oh, I could have been really wealthy. He loved me. He'll get drunk and then say, Davis, I love you very much. I knew that he loved me. Now in his love, that's the love we knew. You know that we were there. That's what we knew. In his love, that he'll be drinking, you know, in a bar at his expense. And then he gives me money. I say, Davis, continue. I have to go. And he gives me money. I felt loved. I had more drinks at his cost. I felt loved that way. Now think about if it was wealthy, or he could have left me alone. Have you wondered sometimes where your fathers were when they are getting big land, chunks of land? Have you wondered? Huh? You haven't? Okay. Yeah, sometimes you wonder. There are professors in the 1950s, and you say, Dad, where are you? Why are you when people are becoming professors in the 1950s? Amen? But we have a Heavenly Father. Don't worry about them. We have a Heavenly Father. Now then, So we offer our lives, separate our lives unto God. In John 17, 14 to 17. Listen to the prayer of Jesus, the head of the church. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Woo! Just as I am not of the world. Come on. Come on. If you are hated because of your faith, that's fine. That's fine. You walk in integrity. You stay in that walk like King David, what you've just looked at. You just stay right there in the place of integrity, the place of honor. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. So listen to this. From this prayer, look at it. Just stay there. I've given them your word. That means the more word you have, the more hatred you experience, because the spirit of the world that hates the world, because it's the victory that overcomes the world system. The more you have the word, and the more you become a doer of the word, the more you are becoming an enemy to the devil. That's why, church, you have to stay in that place of the word. Listen, we have to stay in the place of being effective in the spirit. Effective in the spirit. Think about this. When you are praying, you need to think of, I must be effective in what I'm doing. I want that. I want that. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. We know you too. You've been causing us trouble. You've been praying and pulling down the works of the kingdom of darkness. Until you say, we know you too. Hallelujah. Just as I'm not of the world. And then he says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you do what? You keep them, or you think about this, you preserve them from the evil one. Keep them. Don't take them from the world, but keep them. So stop praying those prayers, oh God, take me to heaven quickly. No, stay around. Get the word. Get stronger. Get stronger. And then he goes on to say, is it verse 16? They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. And then verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's a separation. That's a separation right there. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, about being kept, the Amplified Bible says this, we know with confidence that anyone born of God does not habitually sin. But he, Jesus, who was born of God, carefully does what? Keeps and protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. I'm telling you, when you're in that place of honor, we're in place of love, we're in place of walking in the truth, listen, we are truly protected by God. I want you to give that test, can you please? Yeah, can we have a microphone? Come on, guys. I want you to hear a wonderful testimony over here. Microphone, come on, guys, come on. Hallelujah. She has a wonderful testimony, Deacon Yvonne, of how the Lord protected her. Was it on the 25th? 25th, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, I didn't expect this. I hope I'm brief.
Ah, that's fine.
Yes.
Do you want me to sit down?
No.
Okay.
If you stand there, I'll be brief. Praise the Lord, church. So on 25th of June, I'm sure for those of us who don't remember what exactly happened that day, it's the day that Occupy Parliament happened. So I work in the CBD in town proper. And the whole day we were hearing the tear gas and all, and we were watching, there were so many people, but we were in the office. But at some point, towards 4 o'clock, I think there was some panic, general panic in the CBD because Parliament had been overrun and we needed to leave. There was the rumor that the military is coming in, state of emergency, all that. There was a lot that was going on. And at that point, some of my colleagues tried to leave, but from around 3 o'clock, we tried to leave, but we were locked in because it was very, very, we are not too far from Parliament. We were locked in, but at some point, they let people go out. And so some people I think there was some news that you could get out now, and some people got out. So I asked one of my colleagues who had left that if you find the way, because she was going the same direction as I was going, if you find it clear, then let me know. I also called our head of security, and I asked him, should I leave? And he told me, no, don't leave. We are not sure what's happening. Just stay put. But after like 15 minutes, I asked God, should I leave? Because this colleague called me and told me I have made it past community. And I asked the Lord, should I leave? Because we've been taught, don't take things just for granted. Exactly. I actually asked God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, leave. And we could still hear all this mayhem. We could see people walking from Parliament, you know. And I got out, and I called my husband. We were on the phone throughout. I got out. It was clear. I actually observed traffic rules. I went to the right side. That time, everyone was driving in any direction. I went round, and I got to the roundabout El Selassie, and the military had been deployed. So I'm like, oh, so this thing is real. It was, I think, 4:45. And we passed. I passed by the military, and it was okay, and they're telling us go. And like 100 meters from the military, mayhem. Hell broke loose, I would say. There were stones on the road. There was this huge crowd. But I just went on. I got onto, as I was trying to maneuver, I got stuck on a rock. You know, they put rocks on the road. And my car couldn't move. I'm trying to move, I couldn't move. Somebody behind me, a stranger, I don't know who he was, got out of his car. Remember, there's this crowd, and they're all around us, and told me, Madam, just reverse. And I reversed, and I got out. But when I got out, the whole crowd, okay, a crowd came to me, let me see the whole crowd, and some young boys got onto my bonnet. And I couldn't move. And they kept telling me, give us something. Okay, they were harassing people by then, and I'd opened my window just a bit, and I told them, I don't have anything, and truly I didn't have anything, you know, we don't usually walk with with money. I'm like, I don't have anything, and my bag was on the passenger seat. I use a navigation screen. I was talking to my husband, so it was on. They could see I'm talking to someone. And I told them, I don't have anything. Sikudangani, I don't have anything. And one of them just told the one on the bonnet, shuka. They told me, enda haraka. And they moved aside and let me pass. How that was significant, right next to me, there was my colleague. When I was stuck on the stone, there was a colleague who was also trying to maneuver. And he was also surrounded. That colleague's windscreen was broken. He was harassed. Next to me.
Wow.
Right next to me. I don't know who that person was behind me who actually told me reverse and go this way. I don't know what made those young people move aside. Literally, they just moved aside, let me pass, and continued with the rest. It was just, I was telling Pastor, it was God. You know,
exactly.
I just remembered, I was telling my husband later on, the way there was a time people wanted to stone Jesus.
Yeah.
And for some reason, just walked through. That's how I felt. I don't know what caused all that, but I saw God.
But we know God did it.
Yes, yeah.
Isn't that amazing testimony? Yeah. That's the Lord. Thank you. You done? Really, that was the Lord preserving her. Preserving her life. And all the chaos that was happening, God helped her. God protected her. And she went home. In fact, when she got home, that's when got to speak with Andrew. And that same day, that's when you were taking Pastor Carla to the airport. So I'd kept quiet. I wasn't feeding Pastor Carla with information. I just kept quiet. I kept quiet. So later in the afternoon, I said, it's being a bit chaotic, but we'll make it. Then I was Deacon Norman, who kept talking, and I said, we'll make it, no problem. She doesn't watch bother television or anything. I kept it from her. I said, we'll make it. I said, you're sure that David said, yeah, we will. Then we left and we went to the airport. I mean, from the house to the airport, it took like less than 30 minutes. So it's clear. It felt so good. until we went to the airport, and then the systems were down. Remember that day when there was no internet, you know, I don't know what no internet, whatever what was happening. The systems were down. Got favor. She didn't take long, she went in, but she delayed for 2 hours. The plane left 2 hours later from the scheduled time. But she got over there. The Lord preserves his people. Amen. Stay with the Lord. Stay with the truth. Stay with the honor. That's God's preservation. And listen to this. Now, the evil one does not touch him. Remember that 1 John 5:18. Let me say this quickly. There are many voices that are competing for your attention, or for our attention. But we must be intentional, mark that word. We must be intentional so that we may separate ourselves or our lives to the Lord. Many voices. Many voices. Nowadays, it's like everyone, not everyone, but many people became media people. Some even from their kitchen. They've started a studio. It's amazing. And they have this fake news. Have you ever seen, like, on YouTube, people looking this way? This has happened. And it's like, who posted that? A certain someone somewhere under a tree took some photos and make them exaggerate everything so that it can attract your attention, so that it can have more likes and more subscribers. There are so many. So many. I was talking to someone from, a friend from Israel. I said, there are television stations, I will never watch them because of the way they report about Israel. There is nothing good they'll ever say. Will you watch something about, they report about you, everything negative? No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. So listen, if I'm hearing one attack after another concerning the church, I'm not going to watch that channel. Oh, but people like that. Pastor so-and-so, this has happened. Oh, okay, what pastor? Which one? He bought what? What? Why? Yeah, he used the money for building and then bought a Prado. Prado? Oh, Prado, where? Which church is that? Let me give you a scripture for that. Let's go to Proverbs 17:4, the Message Translation. Message Translation, 17:4. Proverbs 17:4. Let me give you a scripture for that. It will really help you. Don't ever forget it, the Message. I'm waiting for it. Evil people relish malicious. Relish is to have appetite for. Relish is to have appetite for. It's to love, to like. To adore, they relish malicious conversation. The ears of liars itch for that gossip. Oh, me, Evil people relish malicious conversation. The ears of liars itch for that gossip. You went quiet. You saints of God. Have you noticed if you receive one gossip, you want another? Have you ever noticed that? There's a certain room that opens immediately. It needs to be occupied by more. Have you ever noticed that? When you go to get a gossip, you want another. And you want another. And you want another. So there are many voices that are competing for attention. But we must be intentional so that we may separate ourselves unto the Lord, or our lives unto the Lord. The aim of the devil is to keep us unaware of the reality of this warfare. Don't forget that. The aim of the devil is to keep us unaware of the reality of this warfare. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And then Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about, for though we walk in the, in that 2 Corinthians 10 begins verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. And then Ephesians chapter 6 talks about the warfare that we are in. So he doesn't want us to be aware of the reality of this warfare. As long as we are unaware, then we'll have no power to stand for the will of God in our generation. no strength to stand. The devil, listen to this, the devil enjoys having lukewarm Christians. They're just lukewarm. They don't do much. Lukewarm. He enjoys those ones. So what are we supposed to do? We must allow the fire of God to burn within us for the will of God. The zeal of thine house has consumed me. You remember what Pastor Carlos was speaking about the Pentecost? It's that fire of God. The zeal of thine house. This will impact our lives, families, nation, and the earth. Yeah, like he told us to pray, it be on earth as it is in heaven. The zeal of thine house has consumed me. In Exodus chapter 24, let's talk about, see about some things about the fire. We must allow the fire of God to burn within us for the will of God. Do you pray really in time of prayer for the nation? I'm not talking about when you are eating and then say, remember, Lord, even this nation. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting in the spirit concerning the nation. Getting in the spirit concerning the peace of Israel. Do you really get into that? It's you to answer those questions. Do you really, really take time to pray for this nation? Do we really take time to pray for our nation? Do we really pay attention to the voice of God concerning our nation? Because I told you that words that we receive by the Spirit concerning our nation, we start speaking them, actually stops the will of the enemy and establishes the will of God in our nation. Do you really pray? Do you really, really, really pray? Do you really pray for the church? Starting with your local church, the pastor and the leaders. Do you really pray? Or is it again, it's the time of eating. Remember even that pastor, father. Keep him, preserve him. The way he's been teaching, preserve him. No. That doesn't do much. Listen, if there's any place we need to enter in over and over again, is that place of intercession. Prayers of intercession. And Pastor Carla taught, go back to those scriptures that she gave concerning supplication. We must stand against the will of the devil in our generation and establish the will of God. You're still here or you left? Come on, let's finish this. In Exodus 24, verse 16, 17, talking about the fire of God. Now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Listen to verse 17. He says this, the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. The glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, that's NIV, let us be thankful and to so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The devil likes lukewarmness. Listen, God likes fire. He likes fire. In our prayer, in our time, in our walk with God, fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Remember Jesus talking to the church, which church was that? Telling them, hey, I'd rather have you either cold or hot. I don't want lukewarmness. I'll vomit you. Remember he said that, you'd rather be cold, you know, or hot. But in between, I'll vomit you out. Listen, check out your Christianity. This is not the time for you being lukewarm. Stand up for the Lord. Hallelujah. Stand up for the Lord. Get strength. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You hear the word of God, you become strong. Is it in Psalm 84? Psalm 84 verse 11. Let me see over here. See if I can check that out quickly. I think I'm winding up. I think. Psalm 84. Yeah, listen to this. Verse 5. Psalm 84, verse 5. The New King James Version. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Listen, let's read verse 7 together and shout it out. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. They go from strength to strength. Do you know if you're not in the Word, that's why you say, oh, I'll go. You know, I will go. What's the time? Now that's Sunday morning. What's the time? It's 9:45. It's 9:45. I'll watch online. This is the time I've just walked. I'll watch online. It's 9:45. I'll watch online. I will. And then you go, what's the time? It's 10:15. Praise and worship is over. I wanted to watch from the beginning. Then 11:15, the neighbor has come. Oh, you didn't go to church also. I slept. I overslept. Why do you oversleep? Do you have an important appointment to oversleep? That's lukewarmness. I'm telling you, and you get excited getting 4 hours on WhatsApp. Really? That's lukewarmness. Check out. Are you carrying that fire? Are you carrying that fire for our nation? Huh? Are you still carrying that fire for our nation? Are you really given out to the will of God, the saying that the devil will not have our nation? That's not good for you to be driving around and you don't know who's going to attack you. Anarchy. The thriving of wickedness. You don't want that. You want to stand in truth. You want to stand in righteousness. You want peace. Listen to this verse 10 quickly. I like this one. For a day in your course is better than 1,000. Can we have that from the Amplified, please? Classic. For a day in your course. Verse 10. For a day in your course is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather stand at a doorkeeper as a doorkeeper at the threshold of the house of my God than to live at ease in the tents of wickedness. Can you have that in the Passion Translation, please? I love that. I want his presence. I want his presence. And in verse, it says, for just one day of intimacy with you is like 1,000 days of joy rolled into one. That's his presence. I'd rather stand at the threshold in front of the gate beautiful, ready to go in and worship my God, than to live my life without you in the most beautiful palace of the wicked. Hallelujah. You're still here? Now listen, you have to keep that fire. Let's go, let's see the key, one of the keys of that fire. In Exodus 24, then I'll come to the new covenant, because it says God is a consuming fire. Verse 18, it says this. So Moses went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. You spend much time with someone, you become just like them. That's the secret of that fire of God. You spend much time with him, you become just like him. What happened when he came down from the throne? I mean, from the mountain. His face shone. They had to cover it. Because you spend much time with the Lord and walking with him, you become just like him. You carry his purposes. You carry his fire. You carry his plans. Listen, his passion becomes your passion. That's the fire of God. Church, you must rise up. We must wake up. We must pursue the will of God in our generation. When he came down, he was just like him. Quickly, please, in Exodus 34, some few scriptures there, then we wind up. I want that. Remember in the day of Pentecost, what happened? When the Holy Spirit came, who's the glory of the Father, what came down was fire. Fire. We have to take that. What's that fire? It's zeal to do the will of God in your generation. It's a zeal to do the will of God in your generation. Listen, if you love the Lord, no one will push you to do something. You will do it willingly. You will do it because you love him. You do it because you love him. I have to believe God to keep it that way. But I'm telling you, when Tina finally, my wife said, it's okay, you'll get married to me, or I'll marry. If she told me we meet in the moon, I could have made arrangements. You know, so let's have our date next time in the moon. I say, okay, we'll see how to figure that one out. I'll ask the Lord. Lord, do you want me to go to the moon? How am I going to go? She said it. I said, no, I'll cancel that appointment in the moon. But she'll meet you somewhere. Listen, when you're in love, you have that passion. You have that zeal. You stay long enough in his presence, you become just like him. God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. I want you to get that. God is a consuming fire. You want his will for your generation. You want his will for a nation. You cannot stand and sit down and say, our nation is burning. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Are you praying? Are you believing God? Are you listening to him? Are you asking him, Lord, what am I supposed to do in this nation? How am I supposed to pray? Am I part of this nation? Yes, I am. Does what happens in this nation affect me? Yes, it does. What am I going to do? I'll wage good warfare. To be known by anyone? No, my voice to be heard in heaven and to be heard in the kingdom of darkness, that I'm waging good warfare concerning our nation. Church, that has to be. I think I won't go in Exodus 34, but I'll finish with Acts 2 from the Amplified Classic Version. Go read Exodus 34 in your own time to see about that fire of God. Look at this in the Amplified Classic Version. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were assembled together in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. I'm telling you, when God visits you, things will change in your life. They will not remain the same. You will know God has touched your life. Anyone, you remember the day that the Lord touched your life and you have no doubt whatsoever. Anyone who remembers, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that 21st June 1996 was on a Friday. I remember when he touched me. I knew I'd been touched by God. I knew he had spoken to me. I knew my life had changed right there. If that has not happened to you, you need to crave for it. You need to crave for his presence. And listen to this, you spend more time with him. I want this. If you're in love with him, you'll come out of bed quickly. Even if it's midnight, you say, Lord, I have to spend some time with you. That's the fire of God. Yeah, I have to spend some time with you. I love you too much for me to be just rolling on bed. I hear people say, like, I can't sleep at night. Easy. Go and read your Bible. You'll find it on your face. Read your Bible. Pray. I mean, you can't sleep. Why? Go read your Bible. I'm telling you, you will sleep. He gives to his beloved. Fall in love with him. You'll be one of the lovers. He gives to his beloved sleep. Come on. That's an answer to someone who says, I can't sleep. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And they appeared to them what? Tongues doing what? Resembling fire. God has visited his people, which were separated and distributed, and which is settled in each one of them. And verse 4. And they are what? All filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. Those are tongues of fire. I remember this in 1996, I think should have been in July. No. It was still in June. Because after I gave my life to Christ, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues, about 1.5 weeks later. And I started praying in tongues. And then the Lord opened my eyes to see. Just an open vision. I saw so clear. What was coming out of my mouth was like fire. Lightning and fire. Just coming out of my mouth. And it was so amazing. Because after that, I was in the fellowship the same afternoon. Well, it was on a Saturday. I was in a certain fellowship. And then I see dark things try to come into that fellowship. My mouth is just full of fire. I'm speaking out and fire and lightning. And then dark things start coming, try to come into that fellowship. Just dark, dark things. And then when they'll try to, we start singing in the name of Jesus. And they start going back. The more we sang in the name of Jesus, I see people, we're singing. I didn't know much of those songs, you know, but I'll repeat them. But those dark things will go back. Of course, they are demons. But I'm telling you, out of my mouth was like lightning. The zeal of thine house consumes me. I want that for a nation. I want that. Listen, you want that for your family. You want that for your nation. You want the devil to say that mama, it's because of that mama that you've not been able to touch your family. Amen. Thank you, my sister. It's because of that mama you've not been able to touch the family. We could have killed those children a long time ago, but that mama prays. That mama carries the double-edged sword in her mouth. Amen. That mama, while it's still night, they're praying. We could have done, listen to this, I know it. If it weren't for believers, this nation could have gone to pieces long time ago, many years ago. If it wasn't for the church. Believers praying and believing God. But listen to this, we must be part of that over and over again and pray for the will of God to be done in this nation. That which the enemy has tried to make it look evil, God is turning it for our good. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet, please. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Brother Francis, if you can come over here, please. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you just bless the Lord and praise Him for His good and worship Him, thank Him for His goodness. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, go ahead. Just thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank Him for His word. Thank Him for our nation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's go ahead, just lift up your voice to Him. Shebrom brendem engesede kishirada. Thank you, Father. Those of you praying the Holy Ghost, just go ahead. Father, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit in our midst. Pour out your spirit in our midst. Revive lives. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Revive lives. Revive lives. Let your fire burn in the hearts of your people, Father. Burn in our hearts than anything we've ever known before. The zeal of thine house consuming us. The zeal of thine will consuming us. The zeal of thine house consuming us. Concerning our nation, concerning our families, concerning your will. In this time, in this hour, mamangesha da mangresha de bakasede, re mandesta de ke sakashara da baklorish na mandaya, sakakaya de bastaya da. Come on, lift up your voice. Branda mangresha de bakade de base de ke sarada. Your will, Father. Your will for a nation. Your will for a nation. Amandaya, amandaya shadabas. Our awakening. An awakening in your church. Mashtea, Mashtea, Masheya, Bansteka, Dadasi, Dekesa, Rashdara, Rendange, Redeke, Kesede, Bakorana, Mangere. Pour out your spirit upon our young people. Upon our young people, Father, in our nation. Mangeanda, they're stirring up by your spirit. Gangadabadore, Stenenge Saradabadore. Gegena Mande Sadase. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Father, thank you. Thank you for your will in our generation. That we crave for it. We desire it. We earnestly desire your will in our generation. We earnestly desire your will for our nation. Father, thank you for strength. I speak strength to your people. Strength to lay hold of God's will. Strength to stand as watchmen, as intercessors, as people that are called by God, washed by the blood. Washed by the blood, preserved for the hour. Father, I pray for the outpouring of your spirit upon the church, upon the church, upon this local church, and upon our nation, Father, the whole church, the body of Christ in this nation. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit. Things that have existed before, let there be uprooted, Father. And let there be a new wave come of your spirit. That many, many, many souls may come into the kingdom of God. Be brought into the kingdom of God. Father, thank you. Thank you for souls of men. Thank you for the stirring up in the spirit. Thank you for the angelic realm of God. Open. Open upon our nation. Open upon our nation, Father. Open upon our nation the angelic realm. Releasing the will of God into our nation. Again, Father, we are so thankful for the president, his deputy, all those in authority. Father, thank you for turning around that which was meant for evil. Turn it for good. Turn it for good through our prayers, prayers of faith, prayers in tongues and with understanding. And Father, thank you for restoration of honor, of truth, of love in your church and in our nation. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just bless him, worship him, thank him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. For they that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall walk and not faint. They shall run and not grow weary. Father, thank you for renewing strength of your people. Oh, glory to God. Father, we stand and confess even the violations in the church of dishonor, of not walking in love, and not staying with the truth. Father, your word says that the time has come, will come, that the judgment will begin in the church. We want, Father, we judge our hearts of every kind of dishonor. We judge our hearts of every kind of not walking in love, and every kind of falsehood and deceit. We judge our own lives, Father, and we come before you for the mercy and the grace of God to restore us, your people, to bring forth that double that you've spoken to us, Father. Thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name.